The council will come to order and the clerk will call the roll. Here.
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 If Councilman Ricks could lead us in the salute to the flag. Councilman Ricks, if you could lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're having a little technical difficulty. Yeah. Lynn, why don't we dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance on that? Out of luck. Okay. If everybody could have their seat. Sorry about the technical difficulties with the national anthem. The first item on the agenda is executive communications, and there are none. Next item on the agenda is general communications. And I had a few, and then welcome my colleagues to join in. One, I know that we had talked about the school mediation that took place. I think it started in September, and it ended recently with a mediator's award. And I did want to address, because we don't always get an opportunity to address those issues appropriately in the press or individually, a lot of times we do when people contact us. But that was a very long process for me because of the number of meetings, and I know for the administration also. And it was the first time in a number of years that a Carullo action was filed and then eventually withdrawn by the school department, the school committee, and we had entered into a binding mediation. What was interesting to me, since I've been on the council for a long time, as well as Councilwoman Travis and many, many others, is it was the first time that we really had access to the school department books. And since we had hired an attorney and a firm to look into that, it was the first time that we were really able to answer or get our questions answered in a timely manner. As you know, a lot of times we have these meetings here and we'll ask questions, and many times we'll get an answer, well, I'll get back to you on that, or I'll get you the information, and we really didn't have an opportunity to follow up. This time we did. We did have an opportunity to follow up. And what we learned, from my perspective, and I only speak for myself, to me was shocking what was happening, in particular with the pensions. And the overpayments in the pensions. And a lot of people say, well, that's good that you pay your pensions. And it is good that you pay your pensions. I think it was reported in the journal that one of their pensions was at 104%. That's very good. It's over budgeted. And what was disconcerting was that when we sat there and analyzed it more, that during the same, the bathrooms were not getting washed, and kids and parents and staff were having to raise money for plays and after-school activities, and we were getting calls to donate money ourselves. I was in negotiations all fall and in the winter and the spring, along with Councilman Lattisar was there and the mayor and others, trying to figure out a way to help the school department figure out what the issue was. After all, we were paying, or now paying, about $19,000 per kid, where Cranston was paying $15,000. And we were wondering what the discrepancies were. And so we started to examine that. We also took into consideration that this council approved, after the bond referendum that I had sponsored in 2006, that was frozen by the previous administration for, I believe it was 6 years, we finally approved the bond referendum for $40 million, and we released six of that to this year to the school committee. What gets me concerned is when I hear people talk about the fact that, well, we have to examine the city side of the budget. And I'm sure in the budget meetings and other comments, we're going to hear about that. And I'll address those issues in a minute. But when I specifically talk about the schools, I don't think that anybody can say that I haven't been an advocate for the schools. I think over the time that I've been here, I have. And last year, we gave them an additional $1.5 million, even though they had closed three schools and had the accompanying layoffs, if you will, of teachers and staff. So it was puzzling to me as to why they were claiming there was a financial crisis. There was about $4.9 million that they were asking for in those negotiations. And I have to say that the Markham Group did an excellent job analyzing those numbers. And come to find out, so everybody understands, because we don't get this opportunity often, that their annual required contribution was $1 to $1.2 million. In other words, the required contribution for the minimum required contribution was $1 million. The maximum required contribution was 1.2. And we were seeing overpayments for the last 4 or 5 years, well over $600,000, in some cases over $1 million, above the maximum contribution. And we hadn't, and we had, but we, and we had other line items that we wanted to discuss, just like we discuss here on the council floor on the city side of the budget. And then it was represented to everyone in that room that in the past, money had been withdrawn from that account because there were overpayments, that there was not an issue that the school department had with withdrawing it, and the mediator said that that's what the decision would be. The reason that that's significant is that we also look at projections. And when you project out $4.9 million over 5 years, that's close to $25 million. Although I heard a lot of criticism that how dare we do our job and look at issues when we're getting sued and defend our positions, that's how it came to fruition. It didn't come to fruition because council members had a vendetta against the school department or anything else. The school department said, we can justify, pursuant to the Carullo law, that this amount of money is owed to us. That's why we were there. We were there on the defense. We weren't there on the offense. And come to find out, that wasn't true. And so we didn't owe them additional money. That's an issue that I think some people had talked about, that, well, you're stealing from a pension fund. What was represented to the Providence Journal a few weeks back was that pension fund was funded at 104%. What was represented to us was, well, they hadn't factored in certain contributions, so that was at 92%. Overwhelmingly, it was a well-funded pension, and that was one issue. That's the other thing I wanted to stress. One issue with regard to the school department. It wasn't the only issue that we agreed on because of a zero. And I know that it upset a lot of council members, and council members had docketed one resolution in particular because of the representations and what the kids went through. And it was awful. But as far as I'm concerned, I and other members did our job, and we did it well, and we try to have the best educated decision that we can. The other issue that's been coming up lately is we have to pick a healthcare provider. The last two council meetings, including tonight, that issue is going to be continued. When new information comes before the council and to the public, I think it's important that we all have an opportunity to take a look at that information and make a well-educated decision. In particular, that was true tonight. Additional information came to light. Why? Because we were doing our due diligence and asking questions. Fair game to criticize anybody for performing their due diligence, to slow down, to examine things. I think that's what the public wants, and that's what we're doing here again tonight. There's also been questions about five-year forecasts. And I can tell you that this council, in all the years that I've been here, has never done a five-year forecast. The administration performs a five-year forecast. And the same is true of an audit. I, myself, have asked through our accountants to look at audits and numbers. I have been criticized, and I'm sure I'll be criticized again, for not saying, hey, you know, there's a five-year forecast, let's get it out. One of the issues in projecting five-year forecasts is you have to know where you are before you can predict where you're going to go. Otherwise, you're probably going to end up someplace else. And there's no better example of that than the school department. If I had said to our accountants, include $4.9 million in the forecast because we're adding it in for the 2018-2019 budget, I dare to say that I would be criticized for jumping the gun on that. Or the fact that during the Avedisian administration, there was an appeal from the fire department regarding pension and what tier that pension should be in. That arbitration was essentially done and over with a while ago, barring some additional information that was requested or provided. I personally do not agree with the arbitrator's decision. As you know, I had talked to our counselor Harrington about it, and we had passed, many of you weren't here, but we had passed an ordinance clearly stating that we were in tier two. So when you say tier two, that's under fire pension two. And the arbitrator disagreed with that. That was another expense of $2.4 million that this council member didn't anticipate. Does that impact the forecasts that we make? Absolutely, it impacts the forecasts we make. So if I roll out forecasts that don't include that, that's a problem. And by the way, the accounting firm that was handling all this work for the school department litigation, which was an immediate concern with the mediation, was also working to get and look at the numbers for the school department because that issue needed to be mediated and determined before the end of the year. So there are priority lists that we all have in our life as far as what's time consuming and what isn't. I'd love to say that I have the ultimate amount of time to work on every single issue, and I would say that for the administration too. But that didn't come to fruition until later on. So that impacts forecasts. So the other issue that came up is that we're required to have an audit. This city is required to have an audit by charter, and it should be completed by December 31st. And unfortunately, and it wasn't completed by December 31st, and it's on extension. Now, a lot of people can criticize the city for that and talk about issues about how soon the audit should be completed and what numbers we should use to complete that audit. What people don't know is that not only was there a change in the hierarchy of the treasurer's office and the finance department, but the two people that had performed those audits for several years retired after they finished the previous year's audit. So they retired in April of 2018. As you all know, we're not on a calendar year budget. We're on a fiscal year. We run from July 1st to June 30th. That means that all of the numbers to perform the audit for the next year hadn't been performed for July, August, September. Okay, you get the picture. So now this administration has to hire two new auditors and train them on a system that they're not familiar with. Again, should we be criticized for that? I guess. I mean, I guess we should train them and have a new finance director and have those issues completed in a better, timely manner. And I'm sure if we added staff to get that job done, we'd be criticized for that too. So you're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But of course, not everybody knows that because we have a lot of issues on our plate. And I don't think anybody will appreciate all the issues we have on our plate. Last year, this council passed two contracts. And there were questions about whether the contracts have been signed yet or not. There was also well-deserved criticism from the previous administration that, and I had talked about it in the past, and I know other council members had talked about it in the past, I know that Mayor Solomon's committed to changing that we never had the full contracts before us. We would have amendments to the contracts. And as an attorney, it's kind of difficult to fully comprehend the impact of a contract when you only have a paragraph or two. So it was suggested by the administration, by members of different departments, by members of the community, that this should not occur anymore. That you should pull the old contracts and all the language and compare and contrast them. Now that's great if you have all the boxes of all the notes from the Avedisian administration. I don't think we need to go into that, of where contracts were, what was signed, what wasn't. I think we've seen state departments come down here and try and fix that from previous years. So I know this administration has worked on it. I believe they're almost completed, not to mention that the previous staff in the city solicitor's office has been completely changed. And I know that we were criticized in the past for not doing that. And then when that was done and new staff members were brought on and try to get acclimated to what was going on and also find documents that go back decades to compare and contrast, that's not an easy task. And oh, by the way, we have other issues going on from a day-to-day basis, including sewer line collapses and bomb threats and school buildings being evacuated. So maybe most of us can cut ourselves in half to address all these issues because we're a part-time legislative body. So I know what I'm done, and I know what this council has accomplished, and I know what the administration's working on. And it takes a lot. And I appreciate everyone's effort, and I'm certainly all in favor of doing it quicker and faster, but not at the expense of accuracy. The other issue that we've talked about in the past, and I've talked about in the past, is our budget meetings. And many times we've been criticized because we go late into the night. As you know, we have a midnight deadline. And so many times I see elderly members or family members with kids saying, we can't stay that late. We need to leave. Can somebody read something into the record for us? And obviously we've accommodated that. This year, we've moved the budget meetings from 5 to 4 p.m. And that's given us an extra hour during the day to handle those. And we had some debate over, well, should we move it from 5 to 4 or keep it at 5? And I analogized, wrongly or rightly, to the fact that the state has all their meetings that open at 4 o'clock. So if I start at 5, we get criticized by people that are staying late or they don't have enough time. So in this scenario, I thought it was best if we started at 4, just like all the state committees do, that we would give the public an extra hour of time and maybe not stay as late into the night. So I know there was concern about that. All I can tell you is that we're working hard, that I don't think I'm going to please all the people all the time, that these are the issues that I'm working on and I know my council members are working on. I'm trying to make well-educated decisions. I'm sure there's other issues that are going to come up that I've advocated in the past and talked about, and issues that this council should address on the city side, in the city budget. There are obviously a lot of legacy costs that and issues that really pigeonhole the amount that councils can do with budgets. It's not an excuse, it's the truth. We can make compromises, we can make changes. This council will do that. It will look at those amendments. It will look at those issues. These are tough economic times for everybody, and we just went through a revaluation year. The mayor's proposing that the budget tax amount go down per thousand, which is a good thing, a couple of dollars. It's not such a good thing if you're on the wrong side of the bell curve. If your property went up or stayed the same or went down in value, then you're in a better position. And the next issue is percentage of increase, and where that money's going and how it's going to be spent. And I'm sure we're going to have lively debates on those issues. So I thank you for your time. I just wanted to address a lot of the issues that have been bantered about back and forth, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the upcoming days and weeks. Are there any other comments from council members? Councilman Lattiser.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. You covered pretty much most of the things that I was going to say, but I want to be on the record concurring and agreeing with everything you said. The issues are significant. What has been occurring under the previous administration and culture, it's not sustainable. And it's a long time overdue for people to realize it's not sustainable. And when it's not sustainable, sooner or later it's going to come crashing down. So it needs to be dealt with. We're dealing with a culture that sat here for 17 years, and we have new leadership in place now for a year. And we see this course changing. And it's frustrating, I understand, because these changes don't take place as fast as I would like to see them, as fast as my colleagues would like to see them, the mayor and the public. But I think what's important is that the culture is changing. We know that these expenses, including legacy costs, are not sustainable. It's simply not sustainable. And it needs to, it certainly needs to be readdressed and repositioned. Thank you, Mr. President.
I have been receiving calls concerning the financial situation of the city, just like everyone else, I'm assuming, on the council has received calls. I always thank the people for calling me, and I encourage them to get involved. A couple hundred years ago in Warwick, people were upset about taxes, and a bunch of them got together, and they burnt a ship. And this week, when I was driving down Narragansett Parkway, I saw the red, white, and blue stripe right down the middle of it. And that is something that is positive about the city of Warwick. Gatsby Days is coming, and I would like the people that have complaints about the way we are spending tax dollars to come and to voice their opinions the same way the patriots that burnt the Gatsby expressed their opinion a long time ago, and now we celebrate it in my hometown, which I'm proud of. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks.
A couple of brief statements. First, I think that this statement applies in many different areas. I was told by someone working for the city in regard to a specific situation a couple of years ago, and when I heard this phrase, it just sounded like an excuse. The phrase is, the paperwork caught up with the process. Well, that's no way to run things. The paperwork, when you're running this kind of city, a large city, the paperwork is the process. And I think that also applies to this way of doing business. And I'm really glad to see us moving into the right direction here in the 21st century of electronic records, because whether the records are on paper or electronic, the colloquial paperwork is the process. The other comment that I have is that I think that we all on the council know and need to make sure that the public is also aware that when it came to the property valuations, the city council has no role in going out there and assessing values of houses. That's done by the experts, the independent vendor. And the vendor, a general trend that was found, and this trend, it's my understanding that it holds up in many communities across Rhode Island, is that the valuations for houses that were approximately between $200,000 and $350,000 tended to rise faster than other properties, say commercial properties, or properties that were less or more than that range. And I hope to be able to look into some potential ways to, in the future, perhaps mitigate that hit, because when we're talking about houses valued between $200,000 and $350,000, that's the middle class right there. Now, I don't foresee us being able to do anything on that topic this year, because it would require a change in state law, but I think that it's something that, in this context, we all have to consider. And although I don't have any specific ideas or proposal or legislation, I think that we should in the future perhaps have a conversation on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'm so happy to see someone's finally doing something, and we had that study done, because I met with the past administration and the former school committee, and they didn't listen to a damn thing I said. I told them to their face they were hiding money and that they were just fluffing in that administration budget, and no one wanted to hear it. They just fluffed it under the covers and said, okay, yeah, no. It's unbelievable. I don't know how that school administration can come here and face us face to face and not be embarrassed of what they've been doing for the last few years, telling us the lies they told us. This year alone, I have to tell each one of you that between two or three times a week, I get phone calls from every school in every ward. I tell them, call the council person. I give them the numbers. But when it's my ward, I'm in their face. I'm at the administration building. I'm at the schools. And just alone, one teacher who could actually not fail one class or two classes or three classes, but in the last 2 years has failed the majority of all her students in her class. And where was the administration? Where were the guidance counselors to help those kids and listen to the parents that were complaining? Where was the administration to help them? And all of a sudden, in the third quarter, now there's no summer school. What happens to the seniors and all those students that were waiting for that summer school to happen? That's not happening now. They don't have enough money for that, but they have the nice fluff corner in there. And that's not the only fluff they have, I know for a fact. And then you find out kids had thrown up because they were drinking sour milk. Only to witness, and I have witnesses, that seen them throw 5 cases of milk in the dumpster because the milk was sour. Who is watching this? The school, I'm waiting for the school committee. I can't wait till we have that budget night.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, so we'll move. I know we have a stenographer here. We have a public meeting. And I just wanted to address that first so we didn't have to incur the expense of that. So if there's no objection, I would like to just move to that briefly. And that's under referred business, PCO 9-19, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, 623 Post Road, James Donlan, petitioner. It's a public hearing for first passage. Committee report, land use. You're going to move to open?
Move to open.
Okay. Councilman Ricks has moved to open the public hearing. Do I have a second? Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattisaw. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Public hearing stands open. is there anybody here to speak on PCO 919? Yes.
Sure, I'm walking to it. Just give me a second.
Oh, okay. If I may?
Are you the petitioner? No. Is there anybody here from the petitioner?
I believe the petitioner is in the hallway.
He's in the hallway? We'll get them. Well, just the order of business, the petitioner goes first, presents the petition, and then... Just introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, members of the council. For the record, Attorney K. Joseph Shikachi, representing the applicant, James Donlan, who's with me tonight, and the project engineer, also Mr. Eric Wishart, is with us as well. So tonight before you is a request that we have been working on for several times for a zone change that would really just codify the practice of what's been going on there for a long time, which is Mr. Donlan has his law office upstairs. And upstairs there originally was was professional offices, and that got turned into apartments. So we're asking for a mixed-use residential. We have been working with the councilman in the area, Mr. Ricks, the planning department, the planning board. The narrative before you tonight is no different than what has been approved and is recommended by council. We are in agreement. I've also spoken to several of the neighbors to putting some restrictions on them. I believe Councilman Ricks has those restrictions. If they are, which I believe sections 300, 400, and 500 under the zoning code, we have no objection to those restrictions. I want to inform the council that one of the stipulations or the requests by the planning board / planning department before we came here was that a fence be erected as a privacy fence and a buffer, and I'm happy to tell you tonight, as late as last week, that fence was installed and is up. I haven't done a personal inspection, but based upon my information, engineer, as well as the client, the fence has been up. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Mr. Donlan's here, Mr. Wishart's here. It's a very simple petition. I don't believe there would be any objection because we agreed to the stipulations, but I don't want to speak for the neighbors.
Okay. I know you said you have your expert here. What would he testify to if you...
He's here only to answer questions, technical questions, if the council should have any.
Okay.
And I just, for the record, want to make sure that you do have, in fact, the planning department's recommendation, the planning board's recommendation, as well as part of the record.
Okay. Is Mr. DePasquale here? He could just give us his recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. President, honorable members of the Warwick City Council. The Planning Board did unanimously approve this request for a PUD. I think the limiting factors is the use has been there for quite some time. It'd be limited to office uses. We did include some language recommendations to limit what type of uses go in there because there was an issue with some mustering of vehicles. And so if you look at one of the stipulations, there is some restrictions there to make sure that it's in harmony with the surrounding residential area. But
thank
it was
you.
Unanimous. Thank you.
Is there any questions from Councilman Ricks?
I'm very pleased with the communication that we've had, both with the petitioner, his attorney, and members of the community who live nearby. There had been some issues in the recent past with one tenant in particular, which was resulting in a large number of trucks parking up and down the street. That situation has been dealt with and resolved, and this zoning change, including, well, the stipulations already present, including, for example, stipulation 4, that there shall be no on-street parking on Tennyson Road for any use of Assessor's Plat 289, Assessor's Lot 98, the lot in question, and similarly, Stipulation 5, there shall be no gathering, parking, idling, or dispatching of work-related vehicles from either the designated parking spaces or aisles. That goes a long way toward addressing the neighbors' concerns of any similar business renting space there in the future. In addition, I would, at the appropriate time, not at this moment, but at the appropriate time, move to amend as referenced by the attorney, Attorney Shikarchi, that PUD use, and I interrupted there to say that this is not meant to impact the residential use on the second floor, but rather the professional office space type use on the first floor. PUD use of the portions of the lot in which such uses may be permitted shall be limited to those allowed pursuant to use regulations 303, 304, and 305 in Table 1 of the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Warwick. I have discussed that language with the city planner and with the council solicitor. And what that would do, in effect, is looking at the table of land uses, 303 is law office, accountant, architect, or other non-medical professional person. 304 is real estate, insurance, travel agency, advertising, or similar agency office. And 305 is general office use. These types of uses are low intensity. They are a good fit for the space, as they would not overburden in parking or infringe on neighbors' space. And otherwise, they are low impact in terms of noise and compatible with the neighborhood. I've spoken with several different neighbors, and I, while I may not have spoken specifically on this with all neighbors who may be in attendance tonight, I think that the petition with its stipulations 1-6 and with a stipulation 7 added to clarify as to the professional office use and similar uses in as listed in the zoning ordinance table 303, 304, and 305 will help ensure that this space is used appropriately for the sake of the neighborhood, as well as allowing it to continue to be a tax-generating and productive use of the land, as it has been since Mr. Donilon bought this piece of property back in the early 1990s and converted it from a failed and boarded-up shop to the professional office space and residential space that it is today. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. This question would be for Mr. DePasquale.
Can I just, I have no problems with that, Councilman Ricks, and I thank you. One request, could we'd like to be able to include a chiropractor, even though it's, we don't really think it's a medical use, but it was more of a, you know, treatment type of use. So that would be the, not the medical that you said, but with the exception of chiropractor in case there is one in the future. Thank you.
I would have no objection to specifically including chiropractor in the list for the stipulation.
Councilman Lattiser has the floor.
Oh, yes, thank you. Chief, so here we have before us another appeal for some relief with stipulations and conditions. I've seen this happen oftentimes in the past with the conditions, stipulations, etc., and the petitioner is very willing to do these things on the outset. I very recently received a complaint about a petitioner who is blatantly violating the terms and conditions of that stipulation. What is, this is for the benefit of all my colleagues here as well, that's why I'm asking on the floor. What is the procedure for doing this? Because when I vote to approve something given conditions and stipulations, especially if it's in my ward, I'm expecting the terms of that to be honored. And it's not my job as a council person to have to babysit that site. And when I get a phone call, again, as I say, very recently, about a blatant violation for that, what is our solution to that?
Mr. Chair, it's a very, very good question, and it's one I often get. And I just want to know that, I want everyone to know, the force of the law in terms of a zone change is with this body, right? So what you're considering tonight, and if you were to approve it, is as forceful legally as a zone change would be in any other circumstances. Long and short, it's the law. If you were to approve this tonight, the waivers are required to be adhered to. In your instance, if it was similar where this council blessed either PDR or some other overlay, then the enforcement officer of the city, in this case, would be the building inspector. We would be enforcing all the approvals that this council, elected body, has given. There's no, maybe I'll do 2 and 3, maybe I'll do 1 and 4, maybe I'll do 5 2 years from now. It's conditional upon this body's action. The conditional zoning is based upon the recommendations you put here and the waivers that you issue. Okay? And that is true for PDR, PUD, and many other zone changes. Now, if the petition had not come to this board and went through another board, for instance, the zoning board, the same could be held to a lesser degree. Our enforcement officer is the building inspector. It's our responsibility to make sure what was ever approved by an elected body, whether it's the legislature, in this case the city council, or the zoning board, is adhered to the letter of the law. If it's not done, there are fines in place every day that that is not kept. So I want this body to understand that whatever you put forward is something that is not negotiable once it's approved. It is what it is. If the petitioner does not like it after that, they can petition his body again. But there's no room for movement or timelines unless this body says it's okay. Very important.
So, Chief, can this body take action to revoke that approval on those zoning changes?
Well, there's a process that you must go through, and I think legal counsel probably give you better direction than I. But certainly the first step would be going through the work zoning ordinance and the building inspector through the proper channels. If there is no response after several times, then we can look at further actions that could remedy the situation.
Okay.
And I can absolutely sit down with you if you want to look at this other situation you're speaking of. But yes, there's always a remedy.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it because I'm sure all of my colleagues sitting here at one time or another have had this issue come up and perhaps weren't fully aware of, you know, what the remedies could be. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sometimes it's very insightful that I hear that, so I know that we can do a better job at our level to be able to enforce the regulations that are put forth by this honorable body.
Is there any other comments from the council or questions from the council? Okay, is there anybody else here to speak in favor of the petition? Anybody else here to speak in favor of the petition? Anyone else here to speak in favor of the petition? If not, is there anybody here to speak against the petition? Yes, sir. Just state your name for the record.
Sure. My name is David Mastriano. I live at 261 Tennyson Road. I'm affected primarily by what's going on here. I don't have my glasses, so please bear with me. Ward 5, I can see. I'm sorry, I can't read your last name. The issues he brought up, and the reason, I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible, but I've gone through this for 3 years. Mr. Donlin is an attorney, unlicensed attorney in the state of Rhode Island. Mr. Donlin, I have to disagree with Councilman Ricks and his counsel. I think what they said was absolutely misleading. Mr. Donlin has rented those properties illegally and broken zoning laws for over 20 years. I have a signed statement from a gentleman that I work with whose daughter's rented from him. The only reason why we're here tonight is because I dropped a phone call into the city on Mr. Donlin. As an attorney, he's been, I think, excuse my language, but ripping off the city for years. The fence went up only because I, for 3 years, have been pushing this issue. He has had a company, USIC, which is a company global, 24/7 utility company. I have police reports in here. I have photographs. I had fought with the zoning department. I have been to the mayor's office. The parking lot not only was full of USIC trucks, they were actually using city property, which the pictures are in here, the ball field across the street. I have a police report from 5 weeks ago stating there was 19 cars in the ball field, not including all the cars that were in the parking lot. These gentlemen have been on our lawns practicing. My wife is in the shower and she has men on her lawn. It's been, you have no idea what I've gone through for 3 years. Mr. Donlin had no regard for me as his neighbor to put a stop to this or to, and that, this is the problem I'm having. These stipulations, they all sound good. I'm sorry, but Mr. Donlin doesn't uphold what he says. After all, he's broken the zoning laws for 20 years. On top of that, if you look at the zoning laws, commercial property butted up against residential property, there should be a barrier. So that fence that went in there, he didn't do me any favors by putting that fence in. That fence belongs there. Secondly, I had a car carrier, and I have pictures of this. Think about this for a minute. I had a car carrier pull in front of my house, dropping off USIC vehicles from Texas. It looked like police Toyota in front of my house. My wife couldn't get out of the driveway for 40 minutes. I went to Mr. Donlin's house, knocked on his front door. This was about 5 months ago. And I said, you know something, Mr. Donlin? Let him park in front of your house, I said. He has done nothing about it for those 4 months. Not only that, I'm even going to tell you another thing, because I've earned the right to say this. Mr. Donlin owns a house on Wendell Street that he even rents out part of his house to somebody that's been living there for many years. So as an attorney, he has broken the zoning laws for years. So what his counsel is presenting tonight, I the problem I have with it is he's not going to justify it. In plain English, I'm sorry and I'm all done. Mr. Donlin is a slumlord. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. DePasquale, could you address the changes that are being made and what would or would not be allowed?
It was certainly an evidence that was presented to the city where this user at the time, the land use that was there, mustered vehicles of this type, was using city land, certainly wasn't the type of use that was conducive to the PUD. And so the city posted no parking across the street, worked to try to remove that type of use from the PUD. What a PUD is, plan unit development, and what is the idea is you mix a general office use, which is generally very mundane, with a residential use. It's on an arterial roadway, lots of traffic post road. So the PUD application is the right application. I think the actual uses are subject to review. And certainly that use of mustering vehicles was certainly inappropriate to the residents who had to deal with that. And so that is not allowed if this board were, I mean, this body were to consider this, that type of use in the future. There's no parking on adjacent residential roadways, and it would be used for general office use, professional architects, lawyers. I hear a chiropractic, I heard someone. So those uses should not have any type of conflict with the residential neighbors. If there is, we talked about section 1006 in the Warwick Zoning Ordinance, which says the building inspector needs to fine, and there are other remedies that can be taken by the city solicitor to remedy those situations. But certainly if you see in your packet, the specific recommendation was about removing uses that include those mustering of vehicles and that type of use that was totally inappropriate, I think, for this particular unit.
So if we approve these changes tonight, the activity that this gentleman was just describing would not be allowed under those changes?
Yeah, you may want to talk to the petitioner as to what the status of that particular company is. I don't know if they changed their model, if they're still there, whatever. But yes, in here there is no assembling of vehicles. I believe they left. I mean, it was not a use that was appropriate. You know, the neighbor is absolutely right. I saw pictures myself. I was the one who asked that the signs be put on city property, not allowing them to park. Listen, being a planner for 30 years, not every lot is conducive to every use. And there are many uses within the city that particular use could have been conducive with. This wasn't one of them. What I think this unit can be good for is the small office, the architect, the engineer, that could make a living, have a little rental property upstairs. It is on an arterial roadway, and I think that's the intent of the PUD.
Mr. Sakachi, could you address those issues?
Yes, certainly. We've heard this before, and I don't want to defend these actions because I don't know the history, whatever. I do know Mr. Donlin had a tenant that was problematic. He did get rid of the tenant. These issues were raised at the planning board. You are correct that if this council were to pass this resolution with these stipulations, this would be a prohibited use. And just as Councilman Lattiser has, the city would have the power to enforce. This gentleman wouldn't have to go knock on Mr. Donlin's door. He could contact Minimum Housing, he could contact the building inspector, he can contact Councilman Ricks, and those issues could be addressed in the future. So we think that this process has led us to a better place for everybody, including the neighbors. So that's really, really all I have to say. The neighbor that was the National Grid contractor was talking about is gone, has been gone, and Mr. Donlin went through a process but has stopped, you know, renting to them. And the fence was recently installed and put up. It was supposed to go in a little bit earlier, but we had a little bit of a bad winter and the fence guy got backed up. But I told Mr. Donlin, make sure, excuse me, that you put that up as soon as the weather broke, and then we got good weather about a month ago, and the fence guy put us on the list, and we had the fence installed about 10 days, 2 weeks ago. So we're trying to get to a better place where everybody could coexist without a problem. We think that the restrictions are, you know, not every day, but we can live with them. We understand there's a balance, and we want to thank Councilman Ricks for saying, you know, you can have sections 3, 4, and 5, but no more. And I think everybody hopefully can go on from this point with adequate buffering, with a fence that, you know, should have been there before but wasn't. Maybe it was a hedge that came down. I mean, I don't know what the history was, but I do know we're in a better place today than we were 6 months ago, and I hope we'll be in a better place, you know, going forward from there.
Any questions from council members? Yes, Councilman Qualley.
I have a question for Mr. Sakachi. First of all, let me preface this by saying I have been a tenant in that building for the past 2 years, and I don't have any interest financially in the building. I simply rent a little office and pay my rent. I do know that the fence has been erected over the weekend. It goes across the entire back of the property, because today when I pulled in, I noticed that, I said, well, that fence is unprotected. I read in here that there are going to be parking blocks put in, and I looked at the map. There's 9 spots between the property and the abutter's property, and they need to be put in this week, because otherwise someone is going to damage a brand new fence. But I just wanted to state that I have had conversations with the abutter. I have nothing to do with the property. I simply pay rent and use it for my law office. I don't get anything from it at all, and I have always attempted to pass on his messages to the landlord, Mr. Donlin.
Is there any other questions, council members? Councilman Ricks.
I'd just like to briefly state that I think we're all very disappointed with that whole situation with that national company. I am pleased that it has been resolved, and I'm pleased that this stipulation would be enforceable to prevent that kind of situation from happening again, and I hope that it never happens again. And I think that it also goes to a much broader point about the property maintenance division in the city and the need to step up faster enforcement at times, but that's more of a citywide issue than anything as to this petition in particular, and I would be comfortable supporting this petition with the added stipulation at the time that I would move, at the time that the council president would indicate would be appropriate to move such stipulation. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other council members that have any comments on this? Any other council members? Okay. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak unfavorably about this project, that are not in favor of this project? Any other members of the public that would like to speak that are not in favor of this project? If not, Councilman Ricks, could you move us out of, unless Attorney Scacci, do you have any other further stipulations that, for the record, it's in there through the...
No, other than what the planning board has recommended, we have no objection to those, as well as what Mr. Ricks proposed.
So thank you.
If you read through them, there's quite a bit, and we'll, obviously we'll honor them. Thank you.
Okay. So, Councilman Ricks, if you could move to close the public hearing. Make a motion.
Move to close public hearing.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattisar, Councilman McAllister. All is in favor?
Aye.
All is opposed? Public hearing stands closed. Councilman Ricks, if you could move it one way or the other.
Shall I move the amendment first?
Yes. No, you move it first.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Okay. Is there any discussion on this? I would like to say a few words on the issue. And I listened intently to what this gentleman had to say and what he had to live with. I think a lot of the things that were discussed were in the past. And they were wrong, and they should have been enforced. Whether we leave it as is, or we make these changes, you need code enforcement, period, end of story. I do think that with these stipulations and that these amendments, that it's helpful to the neighbors because it clarifies a lot of these issues. But you still need code enforcement at the end. And if you don't get code enforcement, our zoning ordinances are not what they're intended to be. So I think everybody, from what I've heard, the planning director and now chief of staff is aware of these issues. If any of this continues, it's my opinion that we need to be notified, council members need to be notified, and that situation needs to be rectified. But from what I hear, what had happened in the past should not have occurred. But what we hear about is the future, and what we hear about is whether these amendments will clarify those issues and help to prevent that in the future, and from what I gather, they will. Are there any other council members that would like to discuss? Councilman Qualley.
Mr. President, I've already stated that I am a tenant in this building. I don't participate in anything to do with the finances. However, I'm going to abstain from any voting on this petition at all, just so that I won't even come close to broaching the appearance of any impropriety. I don't think I have a conflict, but I am not voting. I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other? I know we have an amendment, too. If we could wait, if you would like to move the amendment, we could have a discussion further. You're moving an amendment?
Yes.
So make a motion to move, and then you can read. I guess you could read it into the record before you make the motion.
The amendment would read, PUD use of the portions of the lot in which such uses may be permitted shall be limited to those allowed pursuant to use regulations 303, 304, and 305 in Table 1 of the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Warwick, and also chiropractor office space.
Thank you. That's the motion to amend. Is there any seconds? Councilman Lattisaw, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Anyone else? Okay. Can we have any discussion on that amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? It's pretty, I know it was discussed at length during the open the mic portion of this, and why those amendments are putting in. If there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is to approve the amendment. Yes.
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 The amendment stands passed. Councilman Ricks, if you could move it as amended.
Move as amended.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on this as amended? Yes.
Just one brief thing regarding the enforcement. I know at least in my ward we had a issue with a stipulation not being followed, and after contacting the building department, it was handled within, I think, a day or two. So it does work. So please, for this gentleman and for anyone else, if there's ever an issue and they think there's something not being followed, contact your councilman, contact the building department. Don't just sit on it and think that it won't get done.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks.
Also on the topic of enforcement, when I referred earlier to enforcement, I understand that some may have taken that as directed at the petitioner. However, I do have an understanding that the landlord cannot always exercise full control over tenants, and by enforcement, that's just as much in terms of the enforcement that property maintenance would conduct, enforcement directly as to the tenants, as well as certainly directed through the landlord. But I think that's an important part of the conversation here, that enforcement those powers that the city has can be exercised directly against tenants, as we cannot necessarily expect that landlords will always be able to dictate the actions of their tenants in the short term. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this? Any other discussion? Okay. A yes is to approve as amended, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCO 919 for first passage stands passed.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is the acceptance of the minutes of meetings. If someone could move for the acceptance of the April 22nd, 2019 minutes. Councilman Lattisaw, seconded by Councilman McAllister. Any discussion? All is in favor? Aye. All is opposed? So that stands passed. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of May 6, 2019, moved by Councilman Lattisaw, seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman McElroy, any discussion on those? If not, I'll be abstaining from that vote, but all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That stands passed. Next item on the agenda is Rule 41, after the general communications and prior to the consent calendar. At each city council public hearing meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total time period for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the end of the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. I believe there are two members that had signed up from the public. Lynn, so each, if you could time, each member would have 7.5 minutes. The first member is Marilyn Baker.
Mr. President, City Council, I was raised in Warwick. I've been a homeowner for 49 years. On March 29th, my husband is a 100% disabled American veteran. I received a call from the VA. They had done blood work on him, told me to call rescue and have him taken there immediately. I called the rescue, only the second time I've had to do so, and when they arrived at the house, told me he had to be taken to Kent. I refused that, told them it was imperative that he go to the VA. He has neuroendocrine carcinoid cancer. He's insulin dependent diabetic. He has certain deficiencies that some of his endocrine systems don't work. All his doctors are there. I convinced them to take him to the Veterans Hospital, that they were waiting for him. 2 weeks later, I received a bill from the city for $886 for the rescue to transport him to the Veterans Hospital from Hoxie. Needless to say, I was extremely upset. And I don't believe that any veteran in this city should be responsible for a bill to be transported there when that is where all their medical care is received. A couple of years ago, I had an issue with him and had to call the rescue. He was unconscious, so they took him to Kent. They took him into the emergency room. My son and my daughter were with me. They took a urine sample, and a while later, the doctor in charge of intensive care, Dr. Raimondo, I don't usually use names, but I will in this case, came down, and he and the doctor that was in charge of the ER asked me when was the last time he smoked. He hasn't smoked in 25 years. When was the last time he used narcotics? They had mixed his urine up with a patient, a man that came in behind him with the Warwick police. They gave my husband Narcan, put his heart rate up to over 140, beat on his chest, told me to go home and tear my house apart and find out where his drug stash was. We insisted they had the wrong urine, wouldn't listen to us. Finally, several hours later, when they tested it again, found that they had made a mistake. I will not subject him to that again. He is unable, due to health reasons, to be here to speak for himself. I'm here to speak for him and any other veteran in this city that needs to be transported to the Veterans Hospital. His primary care physician at the Veterans is Dr. McKinney, who was on staff at Kent for several years. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him, but in discussing this with him last week, he does not want him taken there. When I asked them to access his records the day we brought him in, they told me they couldn't do that. They were unavailable to them. Well, I know that's not true. After much persuasion, they finally accessed some of his records, but as it's explained to me, they can access a degree of the veteran's records, but cannot go deep into the records like they can at the VA. They're aware of what he needs. His oncologist is there, his kidney doctor's there, his endocrinologist is there, and his primary care is there. Medicare covered half of the bill, and the city worked with me very graciously, and I appreciate it, to settle the other half. However, if I should have to call the VA again or call the rescue again to have him taken there, am I going to get another bill for $886? And I know it's policy, but I think it's time, in talking to the Veterans Hospital, DAV, the newspaper, the policy needs to be changed. That's where their care is, and that's where they need to go, and they shouldn't be charged to be transported there.
Unfortunately, we can't comment because of the statute, but we can certainly talk after meetings.
I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next member is Mr. Cody, Rob Cody.
Good evening, Council. I'm kind of going to change my statements that I was prepared to, and based upon the general communications, I think I'd like to offer my executive summary. It's not our fault, it's all the school's problem. We're a part-time city council. We didn't know anything about this. It's the former administration's fault. We lost people in the finance department, so we don't have any reports. Well, you know what? That's getting very old, particularly since not only this city council, but several in the past, there's been some very long tenured members of the city council in which all of these issues have been brought up to them numerous times for a number of years. And I'd just like to advise the city council, especially the new members, if they don't know, about a certain provision in the city charter under Article 5. It's the duties and responsibilities of the Director of Finance. Under paragraph 4, the Director of Finance shall submit to the mayor and city council within 90 days after the close of the fiscal year a projected financial statement. We don't have it. And within 6 months of the close of the fiscal year, an audited complete financial statement. We don't have it. A week from tomorrow, we're going into the budget hearings, and we don't have the basic fundamental documents that we need to have to disseminate this budget, which, by the way, out of the 10 years of budget hearings that I've been coming to and scrutinizing the budget, this is the worst one I've seen, and you people need to chop it up. If this was given to you by Scott Avedisian, it would already be in the basket. And let me just give you a couple little tidbits. First of all, this budget was produced for the general public and made available on May 15th. On page one, table one, there's $83 million that is unreconcilable because we don't have the audit that we were supposed to have. $83 million. That's questionable. So that says to me that our budget deficit could be so much higher than we already know. We don't have the projected financial statement, which we need to have going into the budget. We don't have the completed audit. Furthermore, this council ratified two contracts on July 16th, 2018. Where are they? They're not online. So the tabletop hobbyists that do the math and crunch the numbers and try to help this council, we don't even have access to that. What does the city charter say? Within 60 days, those documents are supposed to be made public to the general public. Where are they? So I don't need to go into examples of how many things that I found wrong in contracts because I've actually read them. We now don't have the contracts to read so we can point it out to you guys. That's a problem. Well, let me give you another little tidbit, and I'm just a couple of examples because there's dozens and dozens. As you recall, in February, I brought to the attention of the council a line item that was stricken from the contracts 6 years ago. Medical evaluations in the fire department. Everybody remember that conversation? And that we had allocated about $326,000, which we shouldn't have because it was removed from the contract. It was noted as savings in the fiscal note, PCR 63-15A. But what did we do? We funded it a week later. Well, if you go on to page 35, it's funded again for more money, $70,000. The city council solicitor gave the finance chairman a legal brief after I made these comments in February, stating that's correct, we should not have funded this and we have no obligation to fund it. But it's in the budget this year. So these are things I found in 5 minutes by actually reading the budget. And I'm really curious to know if anyone else has done their due diligence. Oh, on another note, this budget that was produced for the residents on May 15th has actually been revised again on May 17th. And on table one, the expenditures, is still $83 million unreconciled. So you have a problem. And I really take offense to the fact that we keep throwing the schools under the bus. When is this council going to look at themselves and say, hey, historically, we screwed up? No matter who it was, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. But you guys had the power. By the way, to this council, when you look under the city charter, the city council has the ultimate authority to subpoena people for questioning in private. It's never been done. Oh, one other thing. You know, because I know I'm the bad guy, right? I came to the city council at the budget hearings last year when you allocated $5 million for paving, and I said, there is no way you will be able to spend that money. If the engineering was done, and if you started paving on July 1, 2018, you'd have to expend $220,000 a week before the asphalt plants closed. I got a ration of flack over that. You didn't spend $5 million. Didn't even spend half. Well, what do we have in this budget again? $5 million for paving. So when are we going to get really realistic and produce a budget that you guys can take responsibility for? Because I see slush fund all over this. And you don't have to look too far to find it. So the residents need to know two things. Number one, when is the finalized budget going to be available? Because dozens of people have picked up this budget dated May 15th that now has all kinds of revisions that still don't reconcile. And you have another one May 17th. When is the finalized budget going to be ready for residents that are actually paying attention to read this so we can see that things are reconciled? But on table one, on page one, when you have $83 million that's unreconciled because we don't have at the close of business, 6 months, 90 days and 6 months after, we don't have the appropriate financial statements, how can you possibly go into budget hearings when you don't have the information required to do so? So I would implore everyone on this council to make sure that that happens, and also for someone to issue some public statement as to when, in fact, the finalized version of the budget is available so we can have that information. I still have about 25 seconds. So we can look at the budget and be able to present our questions in a clear and concise manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is announcement of appointments, planning board, Wayne Herman, 449 Chestnut Street, Warwick, Rhode Island, from Ward 2, term to expire January 31st, 2024. Next item on the agenda is appointments requiring confirmation. That's Board of Canvassers, Donna McDonald, 16 Unity Court, Warwick, Rhode Island, term to expire January 1, 2021. Committee report, appointments.
Move favorable action.
For action, Councilman McElroy.
Move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on the appointment of, I know we had a lot during the committee. Any discussion? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr.
Morales? Yes.
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 Yes. The appointment stands approved. Next item on the agenda is the consent calendar. PCR 8519, a resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser. I needed a second. Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman.
Move favorable action on PCR 8319.
Second by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman.
First item, 2016-231, State of Rhode Island Lamps, favorable action. 2018-256, Professional Services, favorable action. 2019-146, Scott Air Pack, favorable action. 2019-279, Fire Department Uniforms, it's PCR 8419. Number five, 2019-283, BCI Weapons, favorable action. 6, 2019-285A, favorable action. 7, 2019-298, precast items for manholes, favorable action. 8, 2020-027, BCI crime supplies, favorable action. 9, 2020-031, become PCR 8519. 2020-035, to become PCR 8619. 2019-313, favorable action. 2020-044, favorable action. 2020-045, participation in state regional, has become PCR 8719. And that takes care of it.
Okay. Are there any questions regarding the consent calendar? Any questions regarding the consent calendar? And Councilman, I think you said that bid 2020-045, now PCR 8719. That's favorable action.
2020 what?
2020-045. Was that called out?
Yes, that has a PCR 8919. It was
so that shouldn't be part of the consent calendar.
Correct. It's PCR 8719.
Okay. So there are four bids that we're not voting on that we're going to vote on individual that have PCR numbers. That's PCR 8419. PCR 8519, PCR 8619, and PCR 8719, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Are there any questions on the consent calendar? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr.
Morales? Yes.
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 PCR 8319, as amended, stands passed. Councilman, we'll move to bid number 2019, if you could move that, 279.
Which is now PCR 8419.
Yes.
I have a motion to hold till June
okay.
3rd.
Held till June 3rd. Next item.
PCR 8519, The recommendation was favorable action with one abstain, which is you, Mr. President.
Yes, I got that. Okay, is there any discussion on PCR 8519, formerly bid number 2020-031? If not, a yes is to approve. I'll be abstaining. Clerk will call the roll. Abstain.
Yes.
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 PCR 8519 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is bid number 2020-035. PCR, oh, go ahead.
It's become PCR 86-19, favorable action with an amendment.
Okay.
The amendment is to award item number 30 to Warwick Wind Water.
That's your amendment, seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Any discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? A yes is to approve the amendment, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 The amendment stands passed. Councilman Lattisaw, if you could move it on.
Move favorable action on PCR 8619 as amended.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis. Any discussion on PCR 8619 as amended? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 8619 stands passed as amended. Councilman?
PCR 8719, recommended favorable action with one abstention by Councilman McAllister.
Okay, it's been moved, seconded by Councilman Howe. Any discussions on this? Councilman McAllister has to recuse himself. If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is to approve. Yes.
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 Abstain.
Yes.
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 PCR 8719 stands passed. Next item on the agenda, we've already covered. That was the public hearing for PCO 919. Next item on the agenda is PCO 1815, Neighborhood Improvement Program, an ordinance that will make landlords responsible for the cost to pick up debris left on the street by tenants. Committee report, ordinance.
Hold to June 3rd.
Held till June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCO 318, Rocky Point, an ordinance to protect the rights of private property owners. Committee report, Health, Education, and Welfare.
Hold June 3rd.
Held June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCO 719, Pension Board. It's for first passage. It's not drafted. Committee report, Finance.
Hold June 17th.
Held till June 17th. Next item on the agenda is PCO 1019, an ordinance in regards to water discharge. Committee report, ordinance, and that's not drafted.
Hold till June 3rd.
Hold till June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCO 1119, amendment to the ordinance relative to parking on Herf Jones Way. First passage, it's not drafted. Committee report, public safety.
Hold till June 3rd.
Hold till June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 9417, formerly bid number 2017-147, State of Rhode Island, telecommunication service / installation and parts. Committee report, Finance.
Hold June 17th.
Hold June 17th?
Yes.
Hold till June 17th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 148-17, formerly bid number 2018-143, installation of sprinklers at the Cooper Building. Committee report, Finance.
Hold June 17th.
Hold till June 17th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 919, a resolution requesting that the Rhode Island Airport Corporation consider additional factors in its 2019-14 CFR Part 150 noise study. Committee report, intergovernmental, that's not drafted. Intergovernmental. Held till June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2119, a resolution relative to Education Outreach Committee. That's not drafted. Committee report, Health, Education, and Welfare.
Hold June 3rd.
Held till June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 5719, formerly 2019, bid number 2019-266, radio system maintenance and repair service for infrastructure, portable, and mobiles. Committee report, Finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Favorable action on PCR 57-719.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Any discussion, Councilman? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 5719 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 5919, formerly bid number 2019-277, fire apparatus repair. Committee report, Finance.
At the request of the sponsor, hold till June 3rd.
Held till June 3rd. PCR, is that the fire apparatus, Councilman? Is that favorable action with an amendment?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on the wrong one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, favorable action with an amendment.
Okay. For action, Councilman Lattiser, you're going to move.
Okay.
Before you put the amendment, let's just move it before you do the amendment. Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. If you could move the amendment, we'll get a second.
The amendment was to eliminate the following vendors: Shipman's, CNS, and Pascal.
And that's seconded. That's your amendment. Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Discussion, Councilman, why did you remove those?
Because the numbers were just contradictory. Some of it was no response to a request from the department, et cetera.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? A yes is to approve the amendment, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Amendment stands passed. If you could move it as amended, Councilman.
Move favorable action on PCR 5919 as amended.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Any discussion as amended? Any discussion on as amended? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Morello?
Yes.
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 PCR 5919 stands passed as amended. Next item on the agenda is PCR 6219, 2020-019, hydraulic parts and repairs.
Hold June 3rd.
Held till June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 7219, formerly bid number 2020-008, City of Warwick and Warwick Public Schools, medical, pharmacy, and dental insurance benefits. Committee report, Finance.
Hold June 3rd.
Held till June 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 7519, Ryan Cabral claim. Committee report, Public Safety.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Committee recommends favorable action in the amount of $86.13.
Okay, so you make a motion to approve for $86.13, seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis. Any discussion on approving the claim for $86.13? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr.
Morello? Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Howe? Yes.
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 PCR 7519 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 7619, Shirley Brown Mullen claim. Committee report, Public Safety.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Simnapi.
Committee recommends approval in the amount of $300.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Howe. Any discussion on the approval of the claim for $300? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is to approve.
Mr.
Yes.
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 PCR PCR 7819 stands approved. Next item on the agenda is PCR 7919, a resolution adopting and settling the tax rate of the City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019 and ending July 30, 2020. Supplemental transfers. Thank you, Councilwoman. PCR 7819, a resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. Committee report, finance.
Hold May 31st.
Held till May 31st. Next item on the agenda is PCR 7919, a resolution adopting and setting the tax rate of the City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019 and ending July 30th, 2020. Committee report, finance.
Hold May 31st.
Held May 31st. We'll move to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything for unanimous consent? Ward 2. Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8?
Pass.
And Ward 9 passes. Councilwoman Travis, if you could move us into the docket session.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All is in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All is opposed? The council now stands in committee for a docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket? Ward 2.
One item. Tentative title, resolution in support of legislation to establish an Ocean State Climate Adaption and Resilience Fund, in parentheticals, OSCAR, close parentheticals. This would relate to a resolution to the General Assembly.
Intergovernmental. Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7.
I have one, an ordinance in regard to no parking here to the corner on Chapman's Ave, 406 Chapman's to 420 Chapman's.
Public safety, Ward 8.
Just one. Resolution of the Rhode Island State Traffic Commission and the State Department of Transportation requesting a traffic study for the area of Tollgate Road, Route 115, and Providence Street.
Intergovernmental. Ward 9 passes. The City Council stands adjourned. Have a good night.